This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast is sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services. Welcome to the latest edition of the Small Business Conversations podcast, Manweb's weekly SME show highlighting critical issues affecting South Africa's small business environment. So last week, I was in Sandton at the Convention Center for the last leg of the Money Summit, which Manweb served as media partner to Leader X, who was the organizer of the event. Now, a few floors down from that event was the Organic and Natural Products Expo. The trade fair was packed with small businesses showcasing a wide range of product categories, from food items, snacks, skincare products, teas, essential oils, beverages, you name it, you could find it. It was so exciting to see so many homegrown products packaged and displayed, ready to be sold to a willing buyer. Now, this whole experience made me curious about our local organics and natural products industry, where it's at currently, how it's competing on the global stage, and the growth opportunities for the industry. So joining me to tell us more is Warren Hickenbotham, the organizer of the expo. Welcome to the podcast, Warren, and thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me on, and it was great to see you last week at the show.
Honestly, it was so lovely to meet you and to see everything. Like I said, it made me so curious about the industry. But first things first, the expo officially concluded this past Saturday. Would you say the trade fair was a success?
Yes, absolutely. Since then, we've been taking nothing but compliments across our socials, on email. So it seems that we ticked all the boxes and delivered for what was a great 3 days.
And just before we get into the nitty-gritty of our conversation, I'm wondering if you can help define, just classify, what is a natural organic product? How does a product get into that category? Is it a matter of the way of manufacturing said product, or maybe exclusion of certain chemicals? And I ask because at the expo, like I said, there were a wide range of products on show. So it might be easy to get an understanding of a pack of nuts, maybe, but not so easy for a bottle of essential oil. So I'm just interested in how we define a natural and organics product.
Sure. And a very good question. And it's a very specific focus of ours and why we named it the Organic and Natural Products Expo. So I'll start with organic. So in order to say that you are organic, you need to be certified as such. So there are international agencies that do certifications. There are different certifications required for depending on where you're wanting to export your goods potentially. In South Africa, we've been a little bit behind, but the good people at SOOSO, who are the South African Organic Sector Organization, have been doing a lot of work to establish our own set of guidelines and certification guidelines to enable people or local companies to get certified. And it's important because the international agencies that do the American standards or the Japanese standard, whatever the case may be, it's hellish expensive. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars expensive. So it's out of reach, really, for a lot of the small suppliers. So you actually have to be certified if you are to say that you are organic. That's the first point. And that's why specifically we blurred the line somewhat in saying organic and natural. Because there are so many, as you would have seen at the event, small companies doing the right thing. They're naturally farming. They're not using chemical fertilizers or chemical pesticides. They're doing the right thing. They're growing and producing in a biodynamic manner, yet they're not certified. So they cannot say they're organic. But you know, they need the high five as much as the big company next to them. So that's specifically why we did that, so that we can actually, you know, celebrate a wider array of companies, big and small, and not just the large ones that do have the certifications.
And Warren, speak to me about the industry now. How big is it compared to others on the international stage?
So, you know, the US, Europe, obviously streets ahead in terms of this type of thing. Sustainability has been on the top of their agendas for a long, long time. So they've got a large array of products. It's a very established industry. Hence they have these certification standards, you know, set and adhered to stringently. Looking at Africa, We as South Africa lag behind, actually. We're very far behind in terms of, you know, hectares of arable land being farmed organically. If you look at the East African landscape and the West African landscape, they are streets ahead of us. But within that lies the opportunity for us as South Africa to kind of put some focus in here and obviously grow it to good effect. So it's grown massively. Our kind of payoff line a few years back was once a trend, now mainstream. And that's kind of what's happened locally. You know, this was the type of stuff you got in small shops in Cape Town. You know, the tree huggers, if you want, only knew where they were. But now it's in Dis-Chem, it's in Pick and Pay, it's in all the big supermarkets and what have you, massive sections dedicated to this. And I think it's critical that we look at, you know, better for, look what COVID taught us. We need to be better to ourselves. We know we need to be better to the environment. So it's an exciting place to be at this point.
And which products then would you say are getting the most attention from international markets currently, and how is that comparing to the attention it's getting locally?
So one of the things at the show, which you would have seen, was the Africa Biotrade Festival. It was a new addition to our show, run separately to us, but co-located within us. And it brought a real focus on what we have here locally and only locally. You don't get, when I say locally, I talk often in the African context, but then obviously even more just us. So like rooibos, products like that, Skeletium, guys are making tea from. If you look at the baobab products and all of these weird and wonderful things, moringa, that are available here and only here, Fonio coming out of the West African segment. So to answer your question, there's such a wide array of products getting major focus. Most of it starts with food and beverage. You know, anything food and beverage related is where it all kind of started. And then from there, we've seen, you know, massive inroads into the cosmetics industry, you know, using these natural and organic products and ingredients in what they, you know, with very specific effects and benefits that you don't get elsewhere. So it started with food and bev, and I think that's where we see the bulk of the interest still. But as you walked around, you would have seen, you've already mentioned essential oils, cosmetics. There was a supplier, I don't know if you saw them, they make household detergents out of orange peels. You know, so it's going across category, which is fantastic.
Interesting. And I'm just wondering now, the products that are making it out of SA into other markets, are they going as finished products, or are we exporting more of the raw materials at this point?
It's definitely both. Obviously, the raw materials are going up, you know, in the tonnage, and those are containers that are being shipped up. A lot of seeds, for example, and a lot of kind of raw rooibos going up, as I say, in their tons. But then, you know, obviously the packaged goods is what the retailers across the seas look at. You know, that they're not importing, and, you know, that's for the manufacturers. They're not importing the raw ingredients. So they're looking for the packaged goods. We've had some great examples, like kombucha, for example, being shipped across in packaged and final format and branded, and that's kind of where most of the suppliers ultimately that you would have seen want to get to. But it's a big step. You know, we had Standard Bank talking at our Women's Mbizo on Saturday, talking about the financial solutions that they have to enable these small players, because you don't realize, you know, you're at an expo like ours, and a European buyer walks past and has a conversation with you, and you think you've got a great product, and you're in Pick and Pay, and everyone's loving it, and you're doing so well, and you're feeling fantastic. Now this European buyer, or an Australian buyer of Coles supermarkets, just for example, or a French Carrefour supermarkets comes, and they say, okay, let's do a deal. And you do the deal. Now you've got to think, I need stock here to service my local market. I need stock on a ship to make sure I'm servicing the international market, and I need stock on land. So now you're holding three times the inventory that you previously had, and a lot of these guys don't think of that and what the financial implications are. You know, so it's important, these kind of events, for the SMMEs that open them up to these kind of opportunities, but also to the skills and the help that they need to actually take that step up.
I'm glad you mentioned that. And earlier you also mentioned the process of certification for these businesses. And it makes me come to the point around getting our products out into international markets. How easy is it from your conversations with these small businesses and your engagements with them to get products out into these markets that want to buy these products and want to consume these products? What may be the challenges there, and where are the growth opportunities possibly?
So I would say that firstly, it's not easy. Just in isolation, it's not easy. But what we've seen locally and what I've been well impressed with is our government agencies are doing an amazing job at facilitating the export of these products, because obviously it's got a benefit to us and our economy. So government's doing a very good job, and it's done on a provincial and a category basis. So you would have seen the Northwest Province had a showcase of SMMEs. Limpopo had theirs, Free State had theirs. So two sides of what their agenda and their mandate is. The one is to obviously promote the economic development opportunities within the province. They want companies to set up shop there, and they try and put incentives in place for that. But then what they also do is try and support the SMMEs. And often that's they supported them coming to our show, as you saw, but that's also on an international stage. I was chatting to Mariette, who's the CEO of Sicosa, which is the Cosmetic Export Council of South Africa. And they had just on the Tuesday last week come back from a show in Bologna where they had a bunch of our SMMEs with them. And that's what they do. They facilitate taking them over. They make sure they have documentation in place. They make sure they're not wasting their time, that if they do get that big order, as I said, that they're able then to fulfill it. So Sicosa, Wesco down in the Cape, a lot of the provincial guys, Trade and Investment, KZN, are all doing their thing to enable. So that was a long answer, and I'm sorry. But the short answer is it's not easy, but we've got organizations doing some really good work in helping these guys take the opportunity.
I was actually not minding your long-winded answer there, because I want to get detail on where exactly the hiccups are or where the challenges lie. You did mention, like I said, the certification, and maybe you can even touch on how long it takes typically for a business to get certified to even begin thinking of playing on the international stage.
So the certification itself doesn't actually take that long. It's a simple audit process that these companies, there's a company called EcoCert, there's one called Control Union, there's a German certifier called Ceres. So they come and they run their process, and it's not all that long and complicated. You know, they're experts, they come in and do it, and you just need to make sure that you have all of your ducks in a row when they do come. It's more about the cost historically of getting that done. So that's why it's very exciting to see the work that So Also have been doing in terms of setting our own standards and creating, I think they did a deal with Control Union to create a cheaper option for South African companies. I mean, as soon as you start saying dollars, become even $1 is suddenly ridiculous. It's not a long process, provided you have got your ducks in a row. And I'll just give you an example there. So from a growing perspective, you can't have put any false or fake inputs or chemical inputs, as they call it, into that ground for 3 years previously. So if you've just, you're doing everything right, but you only started doing it last year, you've got another 2 years to wait until that soil can be certified as organic, meaning it's kind of cleansed itself through time. So yeah, it depends where you are in the chain or the process, your own journey. But if you've got everything in order, and these guidelines can be obtained, on the website and all the rest of it, then it's not a completely long and erroneous process.
And then just touching on what SA needs to do to grow this organics industry further, what would your insight on that be? What still needs to be done?
So there's a number of role players. We've got the companies themselves. We've touched on them. So obviously we need more of them driving the agenda and taking up the chalice and doing what needs to be done from that perspective. Then, of course, we've got the facilitators, government, the agencies like So Also and Wesco and Sicosa that I've mentioned as well. And they, they're doing their thing and they're doing it really well. I think what really needs to happen is collectively we need to engage with the consumers more. Now, consumer marketing, as you'll know, is expensive because you try to hit as big a numbers as possible. But ultimately, we've got the push. The trade side, the businesses are pushing it. Retailers have started to, create big categories in stores, so they're pushing it. What we need now, for me, my opinion, is that the missing element is the consumer who needs to start pulling it. The consumer needs to start demanding and say, hey, where's my organic option here? At the show, So Also actually launched a campaign called Choose Organic, which is the start of a consumer-facing campaign. It's been backed by Talborn Organics. We're supporting it financially as well through our various platforms. And that's what that's about. We need, you need to go to the shop, and they created a nice sticker that ultimately, when you see that sticker, you'll know that's an organic product. and I should choose that. And that's the whole thing. Choose organic. So again, I've got these nice long answers all the time, but the simplest one is we need the consumer involved, you know?
And I think the consumer would, listening to this, might be thinking, well, I've gone maybe to retail stores to maybe get into the more healthier lifestyle or the organic products that are more conscious and whatnot. But sometimes the price is a bit sticky. The price is a bit too high for someone to let go of their few rands to spend on. And you know right now the kind of pressure that consumers are under. And I just wonder how that plays into the industry's growth and the pricing aspect. I mean, it does affect the consumer's ability or inability to afford these products.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, and it stems from a fairly logical point is if I'm growing a bush, a tomato bush, and I'm throwing pesticides and fertilizer and all this, I'm going to yield 20 tomatoes off that bush. As soon as I take all of those stimulants out of the mix, I'm going to yield 5. So it's the same, you know, the cost of producing the 5 is almost the same as cost of producing the 20, but you've got such a lower yield. Therefore, my 5 is going to be per unit more expensive than the 20. So that's where it all starts, and that's the issue at the bottom. But what we're seeing is there are now organic fertilizer companies, guys who have seen the gap, and they're producing these inputs, as they call them, that are actually fine and do actually, you know, promote an increased yield. So the more that happens right at grower level, the more you'll see that price disparity starting to decrease. You know, when you get to the packaged goods at the same time, if your inputs for those packaged goods, whether it's the tomato or the pumpkin or the seeds, is higher, you know, the net result is going to be higher. So it is an issue, and it has been an issue, but I see with growth that gap will definitely shorten.
There you have it, the co-organizer of the Organic and Natural Products Expo, Warren Hickenbotham, breaking down the organics and natural products industry in South Africa, how it fares on the world scale, and what still needs to be done to attract even more growth. Thank you once again for your time, Warren.
Thanks very much for having me on.
If you enjoyed this episode, please download the Small Business Conversations podcast on all digital platforms. And don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can tweet me at @Machoba_A, or you can email us at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversation. This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast was sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services. Until next time, don't forget to support a small business along the way, and goodbye.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.